الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, as we all know, this is the month of Rabiul Awwal, and in this month many people form gatherings in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life is spoken about, and they have many talks regarding the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we all know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us for a purpose and for a reason. His coming down to us was one of the greatest ni'mah that mankind had received. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, his actions, his sayings, his doings, and his teachings, all of these are a source of guidance and a means for us to make connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of coming down to us is to show how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to lead our lives on this world. How we can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in return we will get Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, and in exchange of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved Jannah for us. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina bi amwalihim wa anfusihim bi anna lahum al-jannah. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has categorically said in the Quran that He has exchanged our life and our wealth for Jannah. He has bought the life that which He has given, the wealth that He has given, for Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved Jannah for us, but the condition is that the life and the wealth that Allah has given us, we utilize it according to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and according to the way in which Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has illustrated to us. So this is the purpose, this was the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to us. That he was the light with which one is able to understand what is in the Quran. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that surely the light and the book, the open book, clear book, has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with the book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminated that book with the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us, is to demonstrate, is to illustrate, is to show how the ahkam and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be implemented. How should they be done? That was the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without that, my dear respected brothers and elders, we will not be able to execute the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not be able to implement the ahkam and the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everybody needs a guide, and everybody needs a teacher to show them how the orders and how the text is implemented. We have many examples in our worldly life. When a person, he studies a doctorate, he becomes a doctor, then he cannot practice until he is in the company of other doctors for some time. He has to shadow other doctors for a limited period before he gets the license to actually become a doctor and treat others independently. Why? We all know that the people that become doctors are very talented. People don't just become doctors like that. They have to have a set amount of degree, or should I say, of the level of which he must acquire is quite high. It is set. Otherwise, one will not be able to enter into a medical degree. Right from the beginning, he has to be well talented before he can be accepted in universities which accommodate medical degrees. They have to have at least 2 A's or maybe 3 A's in A levels, or have something outstanding before they can be even accepted. So these people who have become doctors, they are already talented people. Yet they still, after completing the medical degree, they are not allowed to practice independently. They have to shadow other doctors. They have to be in the company of other experienced doctors to guide them and to show them how to implement what they have learned. Likewise, my dear respected brothers and elders, of course we have the Quran. But to understand the Quran fully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the teacher, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show us how the injunctions are to be implemented according to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to our own desires, not to our own wishes, that we do it how we like, no. We have to follow the injunction and implement and execute the injunction according to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do it. And the medium was Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the revelation, and he was the one who was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to implement this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Aqimu salah," they established salah. Then how is it done? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to do it. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the injunction of giving charity, how to give charity, what to give, and how much to give, and when to give, again, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. When Allah says, complete your Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah, again, it is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who came down and showed us the way to do that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْيَوْمُ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, that today we have made the tayyibat halal. What are the tayyibat? Again, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, what are the tayyibat? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. That these are things that which have been become prohibited. Then when does it not become prohibited? Again, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَلِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. About the moon and how they become different stages and what they are for. Again, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will explain. So whatever injunction will come in the Quran, detailed explanation was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a practical demonstration of how to do it. With a practical demonstration. So our deen, our way of life has to be according to the way in which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us. Otherwise, that is not the deen of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for me and you. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he himself says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That I have chosen for you the path of Islam. And that path of Islam, my dear respected brothers and elders, is a set way which was given, which was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything which is not in that path is not the path of Islam. And if somebody says that this is the path of Islam when it's not, then my dear respected brothers and elders, he is committing the greatest bid'ah and he is committing the greatest sin. When somebody says that this path is the path of Islam, then he is committing a great sin. We talk about so many times, what is bid'ah? Oh, this is bid'ah, this is not bid'ah. Very easy. Ihdath fi al-deen is bid'ah. Ihdath lid-deen is not bid'ah. That is how the classical scholars has defined. When you create something in deen, that is bid'ah. But if somebody creates something for the preservation of deen, it is not bid'ah. When somebody does something and acclaims it, that to be part of deen, then that is bid'ah. But if somebody doesn't claim that to be part of deen,
And that is not bid'ah. Example. Today we have universities, Islamic universities, non-universities, normal universities, secular universities. Let's forget the secular universities. Let's give an easy example. An Islamic university, so-called a university in which the ta'limat of Islam is being taught, etc. As we all know, if you go back into history, none of these institutions was available at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, we never had a big university with big buildings and everything. So, creating buildings like that, is that bid'ah? No, it won't be bid'ah. Because nobody says that creating universities is part of deen. Yes, it can be used for the preservation of deen. To teach. So this is ihdath lid-deen. That's different. Ihdath lid-deen. One is doing that for the preservation of deen. He's not saying that yes, this is the sunnah to create university. When somebody says that way, then yes, that will become. Then you have to prove it. That was it in the time of Rasulullah. Did Rasulullah make all the Sahabas make something like that? Driving cars, that never had cars at that time. Yet, if somebody created cars for the purpose of movement so that people can fulfill their duties in terms of jobs, in terms of dawah, in terms of all these things, then this can be the means of ihdath al-deen for the preservation of deen. This won't become bid'ah now. But when somebody does something with the intention of reward, and yet it is not in deen, meaning it has not been established by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or his sahabas, his companions, then that would not be deen. That would not be deen. That is a simple rule. Now you can apply that to whatever you want. So if Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not prohibited something, then that falls into the category of mubah, permissible. But if somebody does something which is permissible and thinks that now this is part of deen, then that will become bid'ah. Because this is the category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it, mubah. You can do it. But somebody thinks that if I do, I'll get extra reward, then that will become bid'ah. To change any category from a level is bid'ah. If somebody thinks a sunnah is a fard, well, it must be done. For example, we all know that to read Ishraq after sunset is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a great sunnah, and it carries great reward. 2 rakat of salat of Ishraq, we all know it gives a reward of accepted Hajj and Umrah. But if somebody starts telling somebody off, well, why didn't you read Ishraq? What's wrong with you? By his action, he's trying to show that this is compulsory. If it was compulsory, then Allah and His Apostle would have made it compulsory. And made it a nafal, a sunnah. So that should be kept as a sunnah. Yes, one should be encouraged. But if one doesn't do something which is not compulsory, then he shouldn't be told off for it. Yes, one should be encouraged. Yes, brother, this is sunnah. If you do it, you get such a great reward to increase your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why we should do it? But one should be told off. Yes, if somebody omits a farz, he doesn't do his 5 times salah, his own child doesn't do it, tell him off. Your subordinate, you must tell them off, because this is the farz of Allah. So to change the category of anything, in whichever category Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has kept, to change from that will become bid'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them.